I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We appreciate it and hope your Saturday is starting off well. It is Saturday, the 14th of March, 2026. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show, hosted by Mike Overson of Luminate Bank, Scott Wolmering, and I'm Ryan O'Neill with the Minnesota Real Estate Team and RE/MAX Advantage Plus. Hope your weekend is starting off well before the big snowstorm. Mike, we thought we'd get in here to do a little real estate talk before the snow flies.
Yep, let's get in, let's talk about it, let's get out and hunker down the hatches there.
Yeah, I think we're supposed to get 10 to 12 to 14 inches, and nothing like that in the middle of March. I was looking forward to playing golf in the next week. That's probably not going to happen.
You still could. It could melt by midweek, right?
That's the optimist in you, Ryan.
Hey, you're welcome to join us, 612-294-6949. Interrupt us at any point. We talk all things real estate related, mortgage related. This is a local real estate show. Our team, the Minnesota Real Estate Team, is a group of agents all throughout Minnesota and western Wisconsin. We help people buy homes, sell homes, invest in real estate. A very diverse team in every sense. And again, we're happy to help with any questions you have, whether you want to call in during the show or text in or go throughout the week too, 612-294-6949. Mike Overson, Luminate Bank, for an interest rate update. Scott, before we do the update, though, I was just chatting a little bit before the show. I went to Luminate Bank, had their annual conference just maybe a week or two ago, and it was down at the Depot here downtown Minneapolis. What an impressive event. There were probably, 300-400 loan officers there. I had a great conversation with the two owners and founders, Taryn Reuter and Eric Lovins. Just a very impressive group, impressive organization. Mike, of course, who you all meet each weekend, you know he's awesome. We love working with him. But Scott, what an impressive event, just to have so many great loan officers across the country, a lot of growth happening. Again, they're a bank. They're a local bank. Just really impressive.
Well, and different than accountants, loan officers are actually fun. So if you get 300-400 loan officers in the room, that's actually a fun event. If on the other hand, you go to an insurance deal or an accounting deal, it's not as fun. But loan officers can kick back.
Mike, what do you think of that?
I'd say it's pretty accurate.
That's accurate.
Yeah, it's pretty
accurate
there. Yeah, I'd say.
It was a great time. It was a lot of fun. Mike, interest rate update. What's cooking with you?
Well, I don't have the best news to share with people. Apparently, mortgage rates don't like it when
you go to war
in Iran, and there's the largest oil pipeline.
The Strait.
That's the one. Apparently, they don't like that. Apparently, and so if we look at the last 2 weeks, I think today is the 2 week anniversary, if you will, of when the first bomb went off, or when we first attacked, if you will. Basically, since then, the mortgage rates have just kind of slid up, steady every day, right? It's a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there, and now we're up about 0.5% over the last 2 weeks because of it. So initially, people were thinking it was going to be a shorter-term deal, maybe a week, 10 days, and all this is over with, and we kind of go back to normal. Doesn't look like it's going to be like that. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen with mortgage rates. Are they going to continue to slide? Or basically, is the damage done and we're just going to hold where we're at for a while? It could honestly go either way.
Well, and what's so weird about that, maybe explain this to people. We talk about it all the time. Anything that is bad for the economy is good for home interest rates, except this, except going to war. That's the one thing that, because there's so many other things that are volatile around it, oil prices, everything that gets affected. So even though the economy gets shaken up in a bad way, which is normally good for home interest rates, this kind of has the reversal effect.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I think the reason for the war is also a factor that comes into play, because there have been times where when other wars have come out, mortgage rates have gone down. Yeah. But I think it's the oil play, and it's that type of economic effect around this type of war that we're seeing that is causing that adverse effect.
Yep.
And Mike, so interest rates, is it low sixes for the 30-year fixed?
Yeah, you're pushing closer to like 6.375 today. 2 weeks ago, we were talking, you know, 5.875s and 5.99s. So I just tell people it's about a half a percent so far is what the damage, if you will, has been. And we'll just have to see, I guess, how this next week plays out.
What's the rule, Mike, if you're buying a home that you are not living in, so an investment property, is it a half point higher or a full point, or what is that?
So investment properties, I tell people it's typically 1%, 3/4 to 1% higher than what your primary residence rate would be. So if you can buy your primary residence single family and it's 6.25 today, you can expect that an investment property single family home would be closer to 7%.
Yeah, you know what? Ryan and I were just looking at a deal. I won't divulge the whole deal, but the point is it was a contract for deed. And I haven't seen a contract for deed in, a long, long time. But, you know, it's interesting right now with rates that have been hanging around, you know, 7, 6.5, 6.25, high 5, 6.25, whatever. You know, it was interesting to see this one with a large down payment. The person that was selling it had their house paid off, and the rate that was negotiated was 5.25. So, you know, on a contract for deed with a big down payment up front, that's the important part of it, and someone that's willing to give you a 5.25 rate, hey, if you're a seller, that's a pretty good rate of return on your money. Plus, you get a big chunk up front, so your risk is eased, and it's a good kind of a win-win for both. I think I re-looked at it, Ryan, and I think it's actually a good deal for both people in this situation.
I would say, yeah, if your house is paid off, you don't have any loans or interest building up on that.
Yep.
Right? Your spread is that 5.25.
Yep.
Right? Let's say you did have a loan on there and your loan was at 5.5%. Well, you take 5.5% plus the 5.25 spread. I mean, you're up over 10 there at that point.
That's right.
So it does sound like a win-win for both.
Yeah.
So real quick, Mike, before the break, just a question that came in saying, what are condo interest rates right now, condo interest rates?
Yeah, so condos in general, it depends on how much you have down. So if we're talking about a conventional loan, FHA loans, it's the same. It doesn't matter if it's a condo or a townhouse or a single family. The rates are the same. But as soon as you flip over to a conventional loan, interest rates on condos are typically higher, as long as you have less than 25% down. Once you hit 25% down on a condo, then the rate is the same as a single family or something like that. So if you got less than 25% down, just expect about 0.25% hit to your rate for being a condo.
Yeah, again, 612-294-6949. We're up against the first break at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. You are welcome to interrupt us at any point, really, with any questions that you have by phone or by text. It comes right into us here at the studio. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. 612-294-6949 is how you can reach us at any point. Each week, we like to do a 1 minute of hope. Scott, you like hope, right?
I do. I love hope.
All right. This is from the O'Neill Foundation of Hope. This story is regarding Peggy. Our friend Peggy has had significant health issues over the years. She lives with epilepsy, kidney disease, and the lasting effects of a head injury she suffered as a child. As a result, she takes numerous daily medications, all while continuing to do her best. To add insult to injury, recently Peggy's hours at work, along with many others, were reduced, making it difficult to keep up with everyday expenses. Despite the setbacks, she kept pushing forward. She secured a different full-time job at Sam's Club, where she's earning more per hour, have more stable hours. There was a gap, however, before her first paycheck arrived, leaving her in a bad spot. Thanks to you, our generous donors, the O'Neill Foundation of Hope stepped in, helped cover one monthly housing payment, along with some utility bills, giving Peggy some breathing room. Guys, we met her this week. What an absolute sweetheart, inspiration, hard worker. And what I've heard from Peggy and many others, it's a tough labor market out there.
It is
a very tough, literally, that she came into her, she was working at Fresh Time, and all like 30 people, their hours were immediately cut, And so, but impressive, she kept moving forward. She said, look, I'm going to find another job. I'm going to do something else. And so she's had a lot of health issues. We appreciate your support. O'NeillHope.org. You can nominate anyone going through a difficult time that needs help, that needs one to kind of stand in the gap for them, or you can donate as well. We appreciate your support. Scott, an absolute sweetheart. We put up a picture of her, too.
Well, yeah, and that's the one. That's the cool thing I think I like about the O'Neill Foundation of Hope. You know, it helps people that are in dire straits. It helps people that are about to be in dire straits because, you know, I think people out there listening might be, oh, my gosh, she was only going to miss, you know, one house payment or one rent payment or whatever. Did she really need the help? Yeah, she did. Because that little help turned what could be a tragic, you know, because now people are getting kicked out of rentals when they go 6 days late, and then it starts, and then you've got fees on top, and they're gonna evict you from your and then you got to go to court. That costs more money. So having that little bridge that can just help her or anybody that's in that situation is just so awesome that you guys are doing it.
Yeah, one last quick thing on it, then we'll keep going, is the people that we help all are employed or seeking employment. You know, we all believe in working hard, no free handouts. But unfortunately, life, as we know, comes at us some days. And often, again, these are multiple hardships that the person's experiencing. So thank you. Thank you for your support on that. We really do appreciate it. Mike, a quick update from real estate standpoint. Not great news on this one. New listings down 11.6%, 1,161. Pending sales are flat as compared to last year. The inventory overall, though, is up 3.6%, 7,920. Scott, that's not good, though. New listings down 11%. That's not what we need to hear.
No, that's the war. I mean, it is. It's, you know, because everything was trending, we like to say, in today's X world. But everything was trending in the right direction. People were excited. Interest rates were dropping down. Inventory was going up a little bit, but still getting, you know, eaten. And then all of a sudden the war happens and everybody puts on the brakes because they just don't know what's going to happen. Is, you know, I mean, if I see one more Facebook post that says now we're in a forever war, it's been a week and a half. We don't know if we're in a forever war, a week war, a 10-day war. Nobody has a clue right now, but you can tell the market's pushing back. Oh my gosh, we're in a forever war. We're in a forever this. We have no idea what we're in, folks. Just keep buying houses. Trust me, you're going to be fine. It is going to be fine. It's going to settle in.
Mike, have you seen any tick back with applications, that sort of thing?
Not really, to be honest with you. It's been people forging ahead. You know, refinance applications, you know, there'll be people that are just sitting there now because it's like, hey, 2 weeks ago they were 0.5% less. Now that we're up 0.5%. Now for some of those people it doesn't make sense, right? So it's like, okay, the application is there. It's waiting. So now we just kind of watch rates, and when they get back down to that spot, now we're ready to go. So you'll see refinances pull back for sure. Purchases, though, have been steady, though, so far.
Yeah, and I firmly believe, you know, and this is a little political. We don't get political on the show. But I firmly believe that that there will be something coming out in the next 2-3 months. We still have the mortgage-backed securities that haven't been bought yet that he's hanging on to. That's $200 billion of mortgage-backed securities. Once this settles in and we know where we're at, I don't believe this administration is going to let the housing market go in the tank. And so there's going to be help. So just settle in, do what you're doing. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, 612-294-6949. Comes to us right in studio by phone or by text. You can reach us. You can reach us there. One quick note, Mike. People don't realize, I was talking to an agent on the team yesterday about condos and how condos can have a garage with a separate PID. And so this was the buyer who had bought the property. The second PID wasn't listed. And so now it's a problem. And so sometimes people forget that, Mike. How does that affect financing when you have one PID listed, but then you also have to list that garage as a separate PID?
It's fine. All those loans are fine. You can have the two PIDs on one loan. That doesn't create any issues. Sometimes, though, that second PID or garage has a separate property tax bill because it's on its own separate PID. So you'd have to just look up both taxes, and you got to qualify with those. I mean, typically the taxes are pretty cheap on that. So it's not like it's going to kick any really anybody out of qualifying, just because it's a minute amount there. But that's really the only other thing on the loan side of things. Just make sure you got the property taxes from both PIDs included in the payment.
Yeah, one other thing. I was talking to an agent, Scott, last night, and maybe people don't realize, but closings. Why, Scott, do closings not happen on the weekend? Why do closings, real estate closings, only happen Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
Because that's when the title companies are open.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the title companies close. I always tell people, like, if I give them a referral of our title person, or I give them a referral of our attorney, I always say, no, they're not real estate agents. So if you call on Saturday or Sunday, you're not going to hear till Monday. Or if you call after 8 o'clock at night, you're probably not going to hear to the next day. And, but it's true. Title companies are not open. They're open Monday through Friday. And not all of them will take calls over the weekends. A lot of them don't.
Mike, maybe talk about the Federal Reserve and during the week and that importance too.
So, yeah. So almost all funds in a real estate transaction now are wired in. And so, wires only go basically Monday through Friday, like normal business hours, yep. Right? So then you can't have wires go through either, because every single wire has to go through the Federal Reserve. And so that's another reason too. It's no wires can go back and forth, you know, outside of your quote unquote normal business hours.
Yeah, we were just talking, Ryan and I were just talking yesterday about, because it'll happen. It's happened. You know, I've been doing this for 100 years. It happens. It'll continue to happen where you have a line of homes in place. That's why when you have an agent that's looking at accepting an offer, it's not just the money and the closing date. It's what's connected to that money and closing date. So I was given an example of one that I had 5 homes. Okay. Oliver Avenue North was number one. It was just a little home in North Minneapolis. Well, that one fell apart. The buyers that were buying it that I had nothing to do with blew apart, and it trickled all 5 of these homes that couldn't close. So you have people that were, you know, they had their trucks loaded up. Everybody's ready to move in. And now five of these little dominoes get tipped over because of a little first house. And so anyways, the point is, just make sure when you're with your agent's like, okay, here's our offer. Here's what's connected to it. Hopefully nothing. If it is, here's the buyer of that house. They're solid. They're already through inspections. I mean, those are the discussions you could have, because a person that is totally approved to buy your house is still subject to this happening over here, this happening over here, and this happening over here. And if you're in that situation, you will never forget it, and you will never be in it again, because it is bad news.
Yeah, it's hard, Mike, when you're connected. And you see that too on the loan side, where people are connected to these transactions and how it impacts them.
Yeah, we see it too, and it's one of those things where I've done it before, because we're in the middle of the 5, right, of the chain, and you know, some of these are contingent offers, so it's contingent upon that sale beforehand closing. And so our Luminate Fly Homes program, I have had to pull that out of my pocket to say, look, if we use this program, I can actually get you to closing without being contingent upon this, right? And then so that can, you know, start halfway through the chain and get the back half of those all closed. And then you got to circle back, and then once the sale happens, you recast the loan and stuff. But there are a couple tricks, you know, that you can maybe pull out to hopefully keep half of those or some of those on the timeline. But if you're the first one in the chain and that one doesn't close, that's a bad position to be in.
Yep, and actually, it would be great to have had that. I was telling Ryan, in that situation, I bought Oliver Avenue North. So everybody had to go into a hotel. I bought Oliver Avenue North. Took 3 days to close it. So everybody had to do their thing, and then eventually we were able to get them in a row. But you want to talk about screaming families, and they had the right to be. I mean, it's a mess.
Really volatile.
Very volatile.
Hey, we're up against the break. Before we do, Steve McDonald has a listing in Albertville, 10469 64th Way in Albertville, 2599. This is a two-bed, two-bath, two-car garage with a loft. It's got a nice open floor plan, very well-maintained, a large family room, kitchen, great storage counter space. There's a entertaining space on the rear patio. There's going to be an open house today, Saturday, again, from 1 to 3. Todd Martin will be out there, a great agent. This is 10469 64th Way in Albertville. listed with Steve McDonald, the Minnesota Real Estate Team, and RE/MAX Advantage Plus for $259.9. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We appreciate it. Laura Antolik has got a nice one, Scott. This is in Lakeville, 18610 Jonesboro Court in Lakeville for $321.9. You know these townhomes, Scott. They're beautifully built, 2018. Open floor plan, lots of windows. You got a great kitchen with a center island, stainless steel appliances. It's got the soft closed drawers, LVP flooring on the main floor, two large sinks each with a walk-in closet. You got an upper level laundry, full bathroom with dual sinks. Doing an open house today. Laura's going to be there today from 11 to 12:30. It is 18610 Jonesboro Court in Lakeville for $324.9. Nice townhome, Scott. And Laura, what a fantastic agent.
She's a great agent. I actually just sold one on Jonesboro Court. I think closed maybe three, four months ago. So it is a, they are great. Super location, right over by Target 35, close to golf. It's a great location.
She is someone that people just love meeting at an open house.
I would buy a house from Laura.
Yeah.
I would buy a house from Laura.
So pleasant, knowledgeable, friendly, hardworking. I don't know, when you go in, it's like, how can you not feel good when you're around her?
Even if you don't want to buy it, you'll still buy it because she's the agent.
She's the agent. Yeah, I'd be like, I'm not really in the market for a house right now, but since you're selling it, Laura, I'll buy it.
Well, here's the other thing, too. This may seem obvious for other real estate agents, but nobody wants to be sold anything.
No.
I mean, when you walk into, I'll just think of a furniture store. You know, you walk in, and if they kind of creep up to you and they follow you around, I mean, nobody wants that. It's just, and it may seem obvious, you know, for real estate agents, it's like low pressure. If you are low pressure and friendly, kind, you're going to sell more. You know, just relax. You don't need to follow people.
I was asked once on a panel, well, Scott, how do you close your buyers? You know, they've showed them 25 homes. You know, how do you close those buyers? I say, I show them 26. And then I show them 27 until we find a house that makes sense. Real estate is not sales. Trust me, I used to sell health clubs, memberships. That's sales. I've been in sales. Real estate is not sales. Real estate is listening and putting something in that is of advantage to the person you're dealing with. You're not selling them on a house. They're choosing a house. And then you're pointing out the advantages and disadvantages so they know what they're buying. That's it.
Steve Stalock, Wynn Home Inspection. Guess what's coming up in 3 days, Steve?
St. Patrick's Day.
Ryan Perpich. Rye, are you doing anything fun for St. Patty's Day?
Oh, you know what I'll be doing.
Yes. Are you going to have a pint of Guinness?
I'll have a pint or two. That's all you need to know.
So are you going to that strip over in St. Paul?
Oh no, that's too much excitement for me. Too many Irish people there, you know.
The big St. Patrick's. Steve, are you going to do anything fun for St. Patrick's Day?
I hope to be working.
Oh, come on. Come on, you got to have a little fun.
Well, I have no Irish blood in me. I'm a Scandinavian, and maybe I'll have a Guinness.
Yeah, you got to have a little fun in life. A happy early St. Patrick's Day to everyone. Steve, Wynn Home Inspection, you are a partner. You're a home inspector. You do a wonderful job. You, as a result, you are busy. You get booked up. What do you have for folks today? Whether it's existing homeowners or people that are looking for home inspection?
Well, I'd say in anticipation of the snow that we're about to get dumped on, it's going to be a wet, heavy snow. Our roof should just be fine. We're built to handle that dynamic load. But when you're clearing your driveways and whatnot, don't throw the snow up against the house. Don't make huge snow piles right near your foundation that's going to melt. You're going to get water in your basement. Now, you're going to just don't complicate things. Get it away.
So. And what, any common issues you're seeing this time of year with existing homeowners, things for people to kind of be aware of, best practices for ongoing maintenance with a house?
Oh, that could be a whole hour
show. I was going to say, yeah.
You know, people, you know, you have a busy life and you just neglect things. So the number of times I get down to a furnace and, you know, obviously that furnace filter has been there for a year or two. Ooh. Or if you have, yeah, they're pretty amazing. Or if you have a somewhat newer house and you have what we call an air exchanger, most homeowners don't even know that they need to open that and also clean those. So I generally see a lot of just neglect, and it's not purposeful. It's just because, you know, we got busy lives. Your kids are in hockey or dance or whatever, and you're flying all over, and the last thing on your mind is taking care of some of those mundane things.
How have we as... Help me understand with a furnace. It's amazing with all the efficiencies and everything we do. How is there not some kind of furnace that doesn't need that right now, would you say?
Doesn't need what?
Doesn't need the furnace filter, someone as a human, to go down there. Because it is. It's an issue for everybody. Well, I mean, let's face it.
If you don't want a filter, go to radiant heat, get a boiler.
Tell me more.
There are ways to solve issues.
Or put it in your phone and go change your filter. I mean, my God, we all have phones. Just put it in every 30 days to go bing, 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 bing until you go put a furnace in.
I think you can set up a purchase online to have filters sent to you on a, you know, quarterly basis. So that would be an automated reminder.
You know, if you got kids, pay them a dollar. I taught my 9-year-old how to change the furnace filter.
And a 9-year-old can do it. They're working cheap nowadays.
Right? It's like, hey,
pay dad 50.
I'll give you a dollar to go change that furnace filter. He'll go down there. It takes him 30 seconds, and he just made a buck. So
well, and he's excited. He gets to help the house do what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's a good dad.
Radiant heat. How many homes have radiant?
Well, it tend to be older houses because before the invention of air conditioning and becoming real prominent. So you'll have older houses with boilers and radiators. That was by far the most common way to heat a house. Then we had forced air conditioning come along. So then your heating got to be shared because we're pushing the air through. Nowadays, with new construction, what I'll see is kind of a hybrid approach where you'll have your traditional heating and cooling through forced air, but you know, then you'll throw that radiant heat in the basement floor.
Best,
and that is
best
such,
heat. It's the best heat.
If I had an unlimited budget and I was building a brand new house, I would put radiant heat through a lot of spaces.
It is the best heat.
Yeah, because once that boiler shuts off, guess what? All that hot fluid is still in the radiator, in the floor, and it continues to re-radiate, and it just feels wonderfully warm.
Steve had a question, a text question that just said, what is the general practice for how often roofs should be replaced now, or what insurance companies recommend?
Insurance companies, that's a whole different can of worms. Generally, your shingles are going to start at a, you know, the manufacturers will say it's a 20-year shingle or 25 and on and up with the higher quality shingles. And we're in a part of the country where we'll get frequent storms, be wind or hail, and that certainly will shorten the life expectancy of your roof cover. Did you have a point, Mike?
No, I had just another question. It spurred me here. It's like, so we got all the snow coming,
yeah,
right? Probably limits you on certain things that you can do on a home inspection. For the real estate agents in the room, do you guys see people extending those inspection times because it's like, hey, we got this inspection for Monday, but now that everything's going to be covered with snow, we got to push this back to Thursday and try to get it to melt?
You know what? We don't, actually. It's an interesting thing. It's a human nature thing. It's like if you went out there on a day where it was a clean roof and the inspector said, oh, I don't look at roofs, that would be totally unacceptable to you. You would get an inspector that went on the roof. But you go out there on a day where it's too snowy to get on the roof and the inspector says, unfortunately, today I can't inspect the roof, people are like, okay. So I don't get a lot of requests for it to be extended.
It is Minnesota, and it's accepted practice. In those cases where we have someone who's really concerned about it, I won't go and just brush off a little corner. I'm not going to tell them, oh, the roof looks good. I saw 1/100th of the roof cover. Right. I'm not going to mislead. But what I can see is the other side. I can get into the attic. You know, and there, that'll reveal too. So, you know, as much information that is possible to be gained, I'll try and get that.
Do you go into the attic each time on a home inspection?
Everyone that's physically possible. There are sometimes limitations and reasons I can't.
Okay.
But if it's at all possible, I still get this big old body up in there.
Do you? So you go, and how long will you stay up there?
2-3 days. No.
Steve. He brings a sleeping bag. What a, what a weird question.
You ever taken a nap up in an attic before?
Let me rephrase Ryan's question. What the heck do you do in an attic?
There we
what
go.
Are you looking the, at?
What do you say, a lawn chair up there?
Just seeing if you're paying attention.
A few drinks. Yeah.
So I mean, think of that, though. If you're like the guy that goes up there, and that's just what you're known as. You go there and you spend a day.
You know, actually, attic inspections are going to start in the wintertime. I will be having taken a look at the exterior to see if there's any sort of weird melt patterns. Sometimes you'll see maybe a house built in the 50s, and on the back slope of the house, you got a little 5-foot square. Why is there no snow there? So when I get into the attic, okay, I got a mental note. We've got some heat loss somewhere in that particular area. Go figure out why. So a lot of times it's a bathroom exhaust duct that's fallen, or you have what we call as a bypass. Heat is coming up from the basement, finding its way through an interior wall, heating up that spot. So there's a lot of things to be looked at within an attic.
Steve, best way for people to reach you, fellow agents, or anyone listening who has home inspection needs?
Well, my phone number, and this is a business number, not a text line, is 952-891-4455. And since nobody was prepared to write that down, you go to the radio show website, mnrealestateshow.com. You've got a good layout there. Go to Preferred Partners. Click on Home Inspector, or I think it's Home Inspection.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Look for the handsome bald guy. That's me. And I should have a link to my website where I do offer online scheduling.
Yeah, there you are. There is the handsome bald
guy.
Yeah, and if you're having problems with the online scheduling, just text me. I'll walk you through it.
Yeah. Or send a fax.
Or send me a fax.
Or Scott, send a fax.
I page Scott.
Yeah, Scott will. Yeah, he will call with kind of the old rotary phone.
Yes, that's right.
You know, just keep calling. Hey, it's the final break here at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Ryan Perpich is with us in studio. Our friend's battling a cold, though, Ryan. You got to stop working so much.
That, you know, work hard, play hard, Ryan. That's my philosophy.
Yeah,
but sometimes it gets you.
You got to work less. Hey, this is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Appreciate you joining us. 612-294-6949. Call us or text us or join us on any of the social media stream we're streaming right now. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. 3 days from St. Patrick's Day. The big celebration where everyone, not only if your last name is O'Neill, but everyone is a little bit Irish on St. Patrick's Day. Scott, we've got one last listing. Miss Ashley Hineker has a very nice listing in Maple Grove, 11911 71st Avenue North for $285,000. It is a three-bed, two-bath, end-unit townhome. It's in the heart of downtown Maple Grove. It's got all new windows, LVP flooring, new stainless steel appliances, kitchen backsplash, water heater, water softener. The association has replaced the siding in the roof in the last 5 years, and there's a nice private deck off the dining room upstairs and a lower level walkout to a private patio. It's close to everything, schools, shops, parks, freeway access. Ashley is doing an open house today, the 14th. From 1 to 3 p.m. Stop out there. Say hi to Ashley, 11911 71st Avenue North in Maple Grove for $285,000. Ashley, also a wonderful agent, very kind person, very pleasant, and you can meet her today at the open house, Scott.
Yep, absolutely. One other thing we should talk about today is the opening day. Actually, yesterday was the opening day of the Parade of Homes.
Yep.
So any holiday gas station, you can get the book. Some really great builders out there, great properties. South the river, I would check out Country Joe Homes. In fact, if you go to their model, my ex-wife Jen is working for them. Great builder in that 800 to a million and a half range. They just opened up one of their final phases, so some really good lots left in that development. So, but there are a lot of great builders out there. Country Joe is one of my favorites. Robert Thomas is one of my favorites. Fieldstone with our friend Mr. Wolf. They are a great builder as well. But there's a lot of them out there. So get out there and take a look.
He does a wonderful job. We met with him, Scott. We met with him recently. Had a cup of coffee with him. Fieldstone has always done just a really nice job. Mike, you and Luminate Bank, you guys do a ton with new construction.
We do. We're actually the preferred lender for Fieldstone Homes.
Oh, for Fieldstone, that's right.
Yep. So, you know, we kind of help them and pitch in for, you know, to provide some financing incentives and things like that with them. And then we partner up with a few other kind of mid-sized builders as well, and then one custom builder in the Twin Cities here too. So we do a ton of new construction. We're good at it. It is different. I had an event on Thursday that we were at, and we're talking about appraisals and some of the stuff like that. One of the things that's unique with us on our new construction side of things is that we only have certain appraisers that will get our new construction orders, because an appraisal on a new construction house is different than an existing. And a lot of people don't realize that, but it is almost like a completely different animal. And so we vet out like good new construction appraisers, ones that like know the game there, and can do those appraisals for us. So
guess the number, guys, what the U.S. housing supply gap is estimated at. How many homes are we short across the entire country? This is according to Realtor.com, meaning what is the demand for new construction? How many nationally? How many million?
Oh, so not percentage, but actually millions of houses are we short? I would say we're short, let me see, I'd say we're short 22 million.
Mike, what do you think, bud?
Ooh. I mean, you guys have seen that graph that I send out, right?
Yeah,
how many homes we were short.
I'm trying to reflect in my brain, but yeah,
That seems like a lot. 22 million. I'll go with 9 million.
Yeah, it's 4 million.
Oh, four million.
Yep, the 4 million. So that's part of why for new construction, why there's so many builders and an opportunity. 4 million homes. Again, it's part of what in the Twin Cities. If you're a buyer out there right now, especially 500,000 and under, it is a frustrating, challenging time. Multiple offers, homes selling quickly. It's difficult. It's very difficult. So the frustration is for the buyers. It's for the agents. It's for the lenders. Everyone in the industry. We're literally 4 million short across the United States. Twin Cities has a huge supply issue too, Mike.
Yeah, I think the key here is that how do we get more affordable new construction homes being built, right? Because what's the cheapest new construction single family home in the metro area that you will really start at
in the parade that is not a townhome, so an actual single family without an association, traditional single family neighborhood, there's some when you get far out that are still in the high threes, but you're way out. So I mean, if you're talking about the immediate suburbs, you know, the Wayzatas all the way through the Lakevilles, all the way through the, think of the ones on the east and the west. I mean, it's hard to stay under 500 grand. It really is. It's hard to stay under 500 grand.
Mike, go ahead.
Yeah,
sorry.
So that, I think that's what we got to try to solve for. And it's not just here in the Twin Cities. It's any major metro area. It's like, I imagine that building here is probably even a little bit cheaper than you go to like a Seattle or you go to other markets. They're probably at 600 to 650 in an outer ring suburb that you'd start at.
Oh, at least. I mean, I was at a deal for the Success magazine, and there was a couple that was there that didn't do as much volume to be there. So I was just asking them, like, you know, tell me a little bit about your market. They were from Seattle, and they said an interior townhome row home that we would consider kind of like the Boston row homes, those were in the 850, 900 range. Oof. So they were selling, and those would have been 275 here.
Here's
it's a big difference.
Other things that could help: reduced government fees. They said development fees can add 30 to 80K per home in some markets for permits, sewer water fees, infrastructure fees, faster permitting. They say builders often wait months for approvals, more factory modular construction, more homes built in factories can reduce costs, government incentives, down payment assistance, tax credits for builders, a lot of different thoughts, guys.
Well, we're starting to see, sorry, Steve, we're starting to see barn dominiums that have that kind
you
of,
love those.
I love barn dominiums. I'll tell you what. They've got really, really popular in the South, and now they're getting popular here. Why? Because they're cool, and their building cost is so far less. So we're starting to see those. They're going to be a thing here. Mark my words, Ryan, Peter Principal.
Yeah.
Within 5 years, we're going to see a bucket load of these barn dominiums. Here we are.
And they just make sense.
Yes.
It does make sense.
I mean, for me personally, I'm single at 57 years old. The next house I build will be a barn dominium about 1,800 square feet with 20-foot ceilings, sweet appliances, and I'll pay $350,000-$400,000 for it.
One other thing. Oh, Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, so you can move your cars out. You can put a little basketball hoop in there. You can shoot hoops. You can do all that stuff.
All that stuff you want.
Just all the cool stuff.
Yeah, like Ryan, you could have like 8 different pianos in there, smaller pianos, bigger pianos.
Hey, it's been a fun show. Steve Stalock, Wynn Home Inspection, thank you for joining us today, friend.
It's so good to be here. I wish we had a little sunshine and we weren't going to be looking at the snow, but get out and enjoy it.
Yeah. Thank you, Scott. Great job, bud.
Yeah, it really is. Again, we're having a little fun today, but really, forget about the war. Get plugged in. Go to applywithmike.com. Get your financing squared away with Mike. It's going to be a really, really good year, and rates are going to settle back down. There's going to be a little bit of a surprise in the pocket, I think, as we get closer to the midterms. So just hang in there. It'll get good.
Great job, Mike.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I echo Scott there. I don't think there's anything to freak out about. Real estate has always been a great investment play, right, across the board. And so things will be fine. Just hang in there, and you'll see.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks to Ryan Perpich. Thanks for your support of the O'Neill Foundation of Hope. We appreciate it, everybody. Enjoy this weekend.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.